Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gatum Kritamatir Brahman. Dvarakam raktam astita upalabhe vidavantam uttaram vaya vivalam. As soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dwarka, he saw Uttara hurrying towards him in fear, purport. All the members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent on the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected them, all of them, in all circumstances. The Lord protects everyone, but one who depends completely upon him is especially looked after by the Lord. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Okay, wonderful. So, this is the, as we remember, the sages asked about Marge Cricket. And we're brought back. His story begins at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. So he's the main hero of the Bhagavatam, so we wanted to hear his history. So his history begins in the womb of his mother and his initial contact with Krishna, who personally protects his mother from being aborted by a Brahmastra weapon thrown by Ashwatthama, who's, we went over that story. He's the son of the guru of the Pandavas, but he's fighting on the other side. And his son, somehow or other, belying the principles of war, and we talked about that culture, that even war was done under rules. There's no such thing as ISIS or something cutting off people's heads generally, and you know, there was some rules of war. Okay, war was there, people had disagreements, but it had a culture that even, but somehow or other he slaughtered five children sleeping of
Draupadi. And then this person, Ashwatthama, because he was a Brahmin and the son of their guru, which meant he had to be respected, but at the same time, he kind of lost his caste because of his heinous activity, and there was a controversy what to do. We discussed that actually extensively, the very interesting point of how Dharma is so subtle. You know, and really to do what's right, you can't just follow external rules. You have to understand their essence so that they can be applied in different circumstances. And that's also why we need people with realization. Realization means that we understand something so deeply that we can apply it in a different circumstance and keep the principle intact, even though the circumstance in which it's applied is different. So the resolution was he would just be insulted by cutting off the jewel from his head, and you know, somehow or other, is cutting his hair off. But somehow or other, he's such a monster that he's now taking revenge, and he throws a Brahmastra weapon at the wife of the son of Arjuna, and really aimed at the womb to kill the last remaining person of that dynasty. And there was a principle of Amoghavirya, although things were not based on birth, they were based on qualities. But the nature of the parents, you know, karma was such that a deserving person would be born in a particular family. And if the family was extremely exalted, Sutinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Brashta Bajayate, Sutinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga. So fallen yogis, people who were really progressive but couldn't complete it, were born in aristocratic families like the Pandavas or high Brahmin families. So, you know, there's something special about this is the grandson of Arjuna who's in the womb and the last remaining person in the dynasty from this fratricidal war. And this Ashwatthama is going to kill him in the womb. And she came towards Krishna for protection. And a very essential foundational point of Krishna consciousness is discussed, and that's that although the Lord is equal to everyone, that does not deny his reciprocity in relationship. If someone doesn't respond in love, they're impersonal. So although God is equal to everyone, in fact, this verse, the key verse that rules over this point, which is in the middle of the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, is Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu Namedve Shastinapya. God says, you know, Krishna says, I am equal to everyone. I don't hate or like, you know, hate or like based on my ego. I don't have that ego of hate or like that I favor people, I hate people, I like people. No, I'm equal to everyone, which means I will respond the same to everyone according to how they, so I respond equally. It means I'll give shelter to everyone who takes shelter. I'll ignore everyone who doesn't want me. So if you approach Krishna, he won't be prejudiced against you. He'll reciprocate in love. Krishna will reciprocate in love to everyone. Equally, that means the equality is one who is a friend, I'll be a friend. One who wants to ignore me, I'll ignore me. That's equal. Not that I'm a friend to a friend and I'm a friend to someone that ignores me. Or someone who gives his life to me, I treat the same as someone who has no regard for me. Yes, I'm equal. I have everyone's interest in mind. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bhunam yo vidadati. As someone surrenders to me, I reward Nityo nityanam, chaitanas eko bhunam yo. There's many, I'm one, there's many eternals, I'm one, there's many life forces, and that one maintains the others. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva vajamyaham mam manvartu vartante. As one surrenders to me, I reward accordingly. So this is very, very, this is the opulence of God. That when you love him, he reciprocates. It's not, you know, that's a person. The opulence of a person is, an opulence of a person is he's controlled by love. That's the opulence of a person. So he reciprocates. So the father is more attentive to the little son who's exclusively dependent on him. That's a wonderful quality. So this is the nature of bhakti and why it's called the path of grace. If you depend on God, he will receive. He'll give you shelter. He'll give you shelter. He'll reciprocate with you. And that's the path of bhakti. The path of bhakti is expressing your heart to God and expressing your dependence, which we are, or expressing the realization of your dependence. And God will reciprocate perfectly. It's sometimes hard to see that when you give your life to God and your world falls apart. But God's value system is that love is the highest thing, not things. And in his very intricate strategy to give you love and inspire you in love, he sometimes takes away things. And it's too complex for us to say that he's wrong in his strategy, that I deserve, you know, more. He's not dealing with me properly. That makes an assumption that our mind is greater than God's mind. God, you know, what is it like from God's perspective? Then he understands why there's difficulties and why he's doing something. And generally, an experienced devotee, an experienced devotee will kind of sense it in his life, how that trouble helped him to get Krishna, how that disappointment helped him to get Krishna. I've spoken about this many times. At the time, we don't understand how this is, because our value system is mercy is to make us the controller enjoyer, not to fill our heart with love. What do we really want now? You know, we have so many problems, and it's based on ego, most of them. If we want love, we have no problem, because we can get it right now. Anyway, Maharaj Prick is being introduced right now in response to the sages of Naimisharanya. With, because why is she coming? Because her son in the womb
And that was their question. They wanted to hear about Maharaj Prickett because he was great in his birth, great in his life, and great in his death. And we're going to now, the rest of the Bhagavatam is going to hear about that. Although there'll be a little digression. I wouldn't say digression, but there'll be a little tangent. I wouldn't even say a tangent. Because Krishna will come now, and now the Bhagavatam will follow Krishna and his leaving, and we'll actually see the relationship with the devotees. And we'll really get a sense of the highest consciousness, which is to be, love God, to love God, who's everything. And what that love means, and how that love is demonstrated in separation, and how that love is enhanced in separation, and how in a perfect world there are troubles, there are difficulties, but it's all related to invoking the highest love. I gave the example, I was speaking today, of a friend of mine that was murdered. And he had a younger brother. I guess he was murdered when he was about 30 years old, so it may have been 35 years ago he was murdered. And he had a younger brother who idolized him. In every way. He was his hero. He was his Vartman Padarshika Guru. He was everything to him. And 20 years later, the friend was still mourning. The younger brother was still mourning. Tragedy had overwhelmed him to such a degree that it consumed him. He felt the loss everywhere. So in the same way, the highest consciousness is a world of love that is consuming. And therefore, it's a world of happiness that's consuming, because you can't make a differentiation between love and happiness. It's a world, it's just consuming. Bhakti Ras, that's the ultimate reality. So we're going to see that here as Krishna, who is the supreme object of love, Krishna, that's what it means, he's the most attractive. We're going to see what that love is like. And then I think about, in the 12th chapter, it'll come back to what the question, it's like a tangent. We follow Krishna as he's leaving, and then We see Yudhisthira comes with questions as he's leaving, and then we see the questions answered by Bhishma Dev. And then we see in the 10th chapter Krishna leaving Dwarka and how the residents of Vrindavan feel. And then we see him entering he's leaving Hastinapur. Then in the 11th chapter we'll see how he's entering into Dwarka and how the people who have been in separation from him and now we're in union, I feel. And that's what we want. Because there can be no other greater goal than be consumed by love. Love makes the world go round. And this philosophy says there is a perfect love, a spiritual love, a constitutional love, a love which is the supreme Shakti, energy of God. It's the internal potency of God. It's the bliss potency of God. And the ultimate reality is God exchanging with that potency of love, which he puts into the hearts of souls who want to serve him. And Prema Pumartha Mahan, the greatest value is that prema. That is the goal. And what Krishna consciousness means is that somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, a drop of that love enters your heart, where you get the experience of that connection with God in such a way that you become committed to perfect it, and therefore adopt the process of sadhana bhakti. So we'll follow this now. We'll now follow what happens now. She's as soon as Krishna is ready to leave, Uttara, the daughter of his cousin comes, because someone has released a directed atomic bomb in her womb just to destroy the dynasty. Uttara uvacha, pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate nanyam twarabhayam pashye yatra mityu parasparam. Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. O Lord of Lords, Lords of the universe, you are the greatest mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. Yes. Because the clutches of death are the illusion that you're the body, which comes by your desire to be independent of God. So it's God's energy. So no one can remove that energy but God. And since that energy is attracted by a certain consciousness not to be a devotee, that illusory potency, I don't want to be a devotee, and God gives you the illusion that you're not by his own potency, which puts you into the world of duality, the world of birth and death. So you can't overcome that energy without changing the consciousness that caused it. Really, devotional service means to get the inspiration to be what you are, which is called a devotee. And that inspiration comes from understanding Krishna and becoming attracted to Krishna by hearing the Bhagavatam. By getting that sense, yes, that's what a devotee is, and that's what I would like to become. As soon as you actually, in your heart, with strong faith, make that conviction, really, then you're saved from the clutches of death. And here, Uttara is recognizing that Krishna can save anyone, and please save my child in the womb. Purport. The material world is the world of duality in contrast with the oneness of the absolute realm. The world of duality is composed of matter and spirit, where the absolute world is complete spirit without any tinge of material qualities. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become master of the world, whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord and all others are his absolute servitors. In the world of duality, everyone is envious of all others, and death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. I tell this story about this saintly lady who is dying in Vrindavan, and the Ayurvedic doctor comes, who had once put her cancer into remission, now came again, felt the pulse, and said, "Disease is finished." And we're looking up puzzled, and then he said, "You have 1 hour left to live." And then I understood what he meant, that the real disease is not the disintegration of the body, which is inevitable. That's not what's lamentable. That type of death is not lamentable. What's lamentable is that someone is identifying with the body, and someone is identifying with the body and therefore suffering the illusion of non-existence due to that identification. So when you actually surrender to Krishna, which means that you find his will manifest through a teacher whom you trust carries his will, then there's fearlessness. Because no one can destroy the soul, and the revelation of the soul, the understanding of the soul becomes revealed when you act as a soul, which is part of God, and you are completely surrendered to the will of God as much as the hand is happily surrendered to the body. So she wants protection directly from Krishna, but also is substantiating why Krishna is capable of that, because he's the only one that can save anyone from the illusion of non-existence. It all depends on what you want. If you don't want to be a devotee, really, if you don't want to surrender to God, if that's a disturbance to you when you hear those terms, if you're fearful of it, if you're fearful by giving up that independence, I'm giving up the parameters, I'm giving up the ability to control the world according to my desires. If you're afraid of that, afraid of giving up control and putting that control in the hands of God's will, then God will be kind to you in the way that he'll facilitate that, when you don't want to turn to God or have God, and therefore don't want yourself, who's a servant of God, then you'll be thrown into the world of duality and fear. Text 10. Abhijravittimam isha. Sharastapta yasho vibhu. Kamam dahatu mam nata. Mam me garbo napatyatam. So these are the prayers. O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally if you so desire. but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, Lord. So the natural love of a mother. It's not something that should be transcended. When you have child out of Dharma, and therefore are taking responsibility to liberate the child and give the child the proper care and protection to perfect life, then those maternal affection becomes part of your service to Krishna. So you don't look at it that because it's coming from me and it's my desire, it's something I want to transcend. No. It's part of my service to be affectionate. And affection of the mother means to make all sacrifice for the child. Purport, this incident took place after the death of Abhimanyu, the husband of Uttara. Abhimanyu, widow, Uttara, should have followed the path of her husband. But because she was pregnant, and Maharaj Prickett, a great devotee of the Lord, was lying in her embryo, she was responsible for his protection. So, I don't want to get into the point now, but when the husband died, the woman would also enter into the fire, because the system of marriage and how it was arranged and the quality of the people that the chaste wife, the pain of separation for her husband was less than the pain of the funeral pyre. And she would want to go. And I know even, I know my family, grandparents, etc., I've seen that when the grandfather died, very soon the grandfather, mother died. I saw it in two circumstances. The mother of a child has great responsibility in giving all protection to the child. And therefore, Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, I love my child. I please save him. It's not Maya. Uttara was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero, and student of a great devotee. And later, she was the mother of a good king also. She was fortune in every respect. Suta uvacha upadaya vachastasya bhagavan bhakta vatsala apandavam midam kartum dravya ashram abhutyata. Suta Goswami said, having patiently heard her words, Lord Krishna, who is always very affectionate to his devotees, could at once understand that Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, had thrown the Brahmastra to finish the last life of the Pandavas family. Purport, the Lord is impartial in every respect, but still he is inclined towards his devotees because there is a great necessity of this for everyone's well-being. So, again, the partiality is not only out of reciprocal love, which was natural, but out of compassion for the world to protect the presence of the devotee who is just like a desire tree and can fulfill the wishes of everyone. Pandava family was a family of devotees, and therefore the Lord wanted them to rule the world. That was the reason he vanquished the rule of the company of Duryodhana and established the rule of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Therefore, he also wanted to protect Maharaj Prickett, who was lying in embryo. He did not like the idea that the world should be without the Pandavas, the ideal family of the devotees. So this is the last descendant of the Pandavas, and he didn't want the world to be without such family of devotees. Because they can benefit so many people. Just one pure devotee is the greatest gift to the world. Because he can give the greatest gift to the world, which is love in the heart. Look what one person, Prabhupada, did. You know, today, it's been really, I've been really busy, but it's so blissfully busy. Just all these people coming. Now Raghunath's group has come. And we took him out to the fields for those incredible Brijavasi rotis. And, on our way back, we walked through the ISKCON Goshala, and they have the samadhi of Ananta Shakti, who was the first Russian devotee. Prabhupada came to Russia. He couldn't even find what to eat. He stayed in a hotel room. He met one man. And the whole, now there's tens and tens of thousands of devotees. So the importance of a pure devotee, and Krishna is also recognizing and demonstrating it by taking special effort to protect the devotee and giving us the point how important is the devotee. How important is the devotee? Okay, are there any questions? Okay, while you're thinking of questions, anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Thank you, Govardhan. I'm sorry about Wednesday, just Wednesday, the timing of the class. I should be more regular now.
Yeah, actually today we have Rajakishore class in 2 o'clock temple. We are going there evening.
Oh, really? Okay, that's nice.
Next week we'll be in Central New York.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Okay, good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Bob Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Very wonderful class.
Missing you in Vrindavan.
Yes, yes.
You know what dates you'll get here?
Yes, we'll be there. We're arriving on December 24th. We'll be there 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hopefully I'll be here, but I doubt it, but hopefully. Okay. At least I know the dates. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo, Gail. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bo Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
Hi.
Hare Krishna. Unan and Surit, thank you. Who else?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Say hello. Anybody else say
Maharaj,
hello?
I just forgot to This is Gail again. I just really wanted to express my appreciation for how you explain Krishna's impartiality. I always really appreciate how well you do that. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you. That's nice. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We can end for today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarugya Shakapasinya.